Hey everyone, welcome to Microsoft Ignite and the Learn Live session. I'm your host, Yashasvi Sharma, and with me we have Aparna. We are PMs with Azure Cost Management. Hey, look, Azure gives you a great ability to scale, and all the innovation lets you innovate even faster. But with great powers, come great responsibilities, and cost management is one of them. And today, what we plan to do is we plan to go through how you can analyze your cost, create budgets so that you can control the costs. And the second thing that we are going to go through is how you can save money, how you can optimize the costs with reserved instances. So without further ado, I hand it over to Aparna to go through the first module in this Learn Live session.
Hi, I'm Aparna Gopalakrishnan, Program Manager with Azure Cost Management. I understand the challenges that you face every day as you try to manage your Azure costs. So let's get started on a learn journey on how you can manage your cost, understand how your costs add up, and figure out ways to control your Azure spend.
Hey, this is an interactive session. So say hi, put your questions, and we have a team of moderators here to help you. We'll be answering your questions, and we'll bump up some of the questions here for live discussion as well. So let's stay interactive and let's dive into it now.
And if your questions go unanswered at the end of this, please do send in an email to ask cost management, that is askcostmgmt@microsoft.com, and we will assure that your answers get replied. Let's get started on the Learn module. We are going to be covering today the session on analyze cost and create budgets with Azure Cost Management. This is part of a larger Learn module, which is a gives you a complete path on how you can control your Azure spending and manage your Azure bill with ease. The first of the Learn modules is the one which helps you plan your Azure cost ahead of time, which means that you are actually architecting your framework. It gives you tools like TCO and pricing calculator to estimate your cost and eliminate your waste. The second course is the one which enables you to plan and manage your Azure cost estimate, and also it helps you make sure that your architecture that you have planned, what is the estimate for it? You can visit pricing calculator, find out for the architecture that you have, what is the estimated spend. The third step in this exercise would be analyze cost and create budgets with Azure Cost Management, which is the session we would be going into detail today. And of course, the save money with Azure reserved instances, where my good friend Yash would be covering the details of how you can save money using reserved instances. In addition to these courses, there are Learn modules available on our Power BI module, which helps you see all your Azure costs and Power BI reports with the custom dashboards. And this Learn module on optimize Azure costs with data analysis would help you learn more about the Power BI features that we provide. We also have a Learn module for partners who are CSPs of Microsoft who want to manage their Azure cost management and the specific features available to them. Without further ado, let's get into the analyze costs and create budgets Learn module. One second. So in the analyze costs and learn module that we are talking about, we would be covering the basics of cost management principles. We would show you ways to evaluate your cost using cost analysis. We would go through an exercise where you can have a hands-on exercise on determining your most expensive Azure resource and see trends. And you would be able to build budgets and alerts. And your first exercise at the end of this session, you would be able to walk away creating a first budget. And the learning objectives that we have is that we want to make sure we set up your organization for success with the ability to analyze costs and being able to have budgets to have accountable spend in your organization. So let's assume that you are a manager in your organization and you would like to understand all the cost management benefits that are available and leverage that to make sure that you have control over the Azure spend in your organization. What would you need for this for following along with me on this MS Learn module? Not much. You can either have access to an Azure subscription, which has already some spend on resources the last few months, and you can see the cost and cost management. That would be great. If you can follow along and take the steps along, that would be great. But if you cannot, just listen in and enjoy the show and look at our Learn modules after, and I'm quite sure you would be able to follow along too.
So Aparna, people have to just go to cost management portal, portal.azure.com, and they can go to cost management to follow along here, right?
Correct. They can. I'll show you the steps to get to cost management portal.
Awesome.
We have short links, aka.ms/cost-management/. I'll send you the links, and I'll show you the demo. You will be able to follow along. Before we get into the demo, I think it's important to understand the principles. So let's get started on the principles. So for us to be able to manage costs, just like how, let's say, you're building a house or an apartment, you wouldn't start building immediately. You would have a blueprint on how you want to build it. The same thing applies for cost management. There are four principles, and the first and foremost principle in all of them is planning, which means that if you are planning to have Azure infrastructure and manage the spend for it, the first thing you need is to make sure you have planning on what is it that you exactly plan to build. The second step is, of course, visibility, which is about having cost insights. The third is accountability, where you're holding folks accountable for the spend they are making on the Azure services that they spin up. And the last is optimization, where you can save Azure costs. Let's go a little deeper into each of them. Planning. When you are planning to spin up Azure resources, you have to first think through what is the business problem that you're solving. For the business problem that you're solving, what are the usage patterns that you expect from the resources? Do you really need large scale VM scale sets? Do you need what kind of infrastructure do you need for the problem at hand? Do you have your audience and your customers spread across the globe? Do you need traffic controllers and gateways? I mean, all of this has to be thought through. Your architecture has to be thought through ahead of time based on the business problem and the technical solution that you're trying to solve, and the number of factors like how many customers you have, how many regions. I'm just giving examples, but all this can impact the usage pattern that is required. And all of this has to be thought through well ahead. And once you have a good idea of how you are really going to be planning out your architecture, you should be taking advantage of the tools like pricing calculator to be able to estimate your cost and have a general idea early on as to whether your plans are realistic. The next step after planning is where you come into this world of the module that we're going to be covering, which is visibility. Of course, without having insight into where your money is spent, you cannot control it. So the most important step is to have insight into where your money is spent, and that is achieved completely in cost analysis. You can identify key cost drivers, trends, what has changed over time in your cost in this wonderful tool called cost analysis, which allows you to slice and dice your costs by various metrics. We will be looking at it in a minute, and you can see the sheer power of it. The next is accountability. Yes, you know what the costs are. You've got the insights. Based on your insights, you still need the power to be able to control the spend. And that power is endowed to you with the power of budgets within the cost management. To use the power of budgets, the most important thing is that first, you should have actually planned your resources along the lines of how you want to control them. What do I mean by that? Let's say that you want to set budgets and say that this my application's cost should not exceed a certain limit. Or let's say this team's cost should not exceed a certain limit. You should be able to first make sure that you've planned your infrastructure in such a way, either through your account setup. Like if you're an EA and you're an enterprise agreement, you can make sure that you have the enrollment department account set up in such a way that you want your cost roll up going in that way. or let's say you're in a customer agreement, Microsoft customer agreement, then make sure that you have the invoice sections and billing profiles that enable you to just group these costs, or simple management groups, which are just groups of subscriptions that you can manage together so you can see costs together. These are entities that allow you to set a scope at which you want to control the costs and set budgets. I'll show more of this when we are doing the demo. It'll be very useful. And of course, tags, they are very powerful. When you have to plan to the labels and the tags that you want to apply on each of your infrastructures early on in your in your design phase, to make sure that when you are managing costs, you can actually roll up these costs by these tags and also set budgets on specific tags. For example, if you had an application and you set a tag with the application name, you can use budgets to ensure that any resource that is spun against with this tag should not exceed this budget. So you have the power of accountability to not just view your costs, you can actually attribute cost to folks in your organization who are responsible for the spend and hold them accountable for their spend.
So Aparna, for accountability, really what you're saying is that you got to plan for your tags even beforehand, put your tags on your resources so that you get accountability when you come and see the costs.
Exactly. I mean, it's not an afterthought. It's much, cost management is a lot of foresight, thinking ahead. And with that comes the power of, being able to also apply. It's a mix of being able to think ahead as well as adapt your thinking to existing insights that you get out of cost management and cost analysis. The next step is the optimization, which is, yes, you're able to view costs, you're able to hold, folks in your organization accountable for their spend. The third step becomes, how do I save costs? So we have two ways to save costs. One, through your own insights by looking at cost analysis and figuring out how you're spending, you can actually control your spend. The other is, there is a product called Azure Advisor, which is a blade in the Azure portal, which will allow you to see recommendations that are catered specifically for you on what you can do to save costs. For example, in your infrastructure, if you can save costs by VM right sizing, or you are having unused resources, it will tell you that you can delete them. If you have snapshot storage, which you are just, it's just being, wasted. All of these features are things that are available to you in Azure Advisor, as well as, for you to look at cost analysis and figure out and save costs. So these are the four fundamental steps, planning, visibility, accountability, and optimization. And with this, let's get started on the journey of how you go about doing it, right? Let's start with a demo. We spoke so much about cost analysis. Now let's get in, if you won't believe me until you see it. So let's see how cost analysis works.
You all want to see a demo. So what subscriptions are eligible for this, Aparna? What you're going to go through? What type of subscription should I have to see this if I'm trying to go along with you here?
So it's a very, very good question. We currently support enterprise agreements. We support Microsoft customer agreements, which are on Azure plan. We are support partners who are CSP on Azure plan. We support direct channels. We support customer-led. There's a long list of offers, and our documentation has clear links on the offers that we support and what we don't. One thing I'd like to call out are the offers we don't support. We currently do not support classic CSP, which is not on the Azure plan. We also do not support like internal subscriptions or sponsored subscriptions. But I think, if you have an Azure subscription, I think it's time to get started on the journey.
Right.
Does that answer your question, Yash?
Yes, it does. So pretty much most of the subscriptions are supported unless I'm in this really extreme corner scenario.
Yes. So let's land on the Azure portal. The way to land on the portal is, of course, portal.azure.com. And once you land on the portal, any guesses on how you can search for cost management? Just type cost management. And you would be able to find cost management billing right here. Can click on it, or the other way is to, of course, click on the navigation blade and land on cost management and billing. So let's go to cost management and billing without any further ado, and you would land on this blade, which is the cost management and billing blade. Here, what happens is if you're receiving invoices, all of the insights pertaining to your bill and your invoice is available on the billing blade. I would be focusing primarily on the cost management blade, which is kind of related to the, you know, the bill. Naturally, the cost and the bill go together. When you receive a bill, the associated cost, which is the pre-tax cost associated with it, we'll take a look at how you can manage that in cost management. In cost management, if you remember the first tool of visibility that we spoke about, it's cost analysis. Let's click on cost analysis. When you go to cost analysis, this is the view that you see, right? Effectively, if you go to your learn module, I want to make sure I correlate and take you on the journey of the cost, you know, in your learn module that we have. We covered the principles. The next is, in your cost analysis view, there are a couple of views that you can see. What are the views that you can see? What cost can you see? That's what we're going to have a demo about right now. So when you go into cost management and look, click on cost analysis, the first view, the things that you can see, take a second to look at it. It's a pretty sight of how you can control your costs. First thing, you can see all your costs adding up, accumulated over the current month right here. You can see there's a line, which this is actually the budget that you know, we'll be looking at how to set the budget, but it'll show you how this cost, if we continue to spend the same way, even against your forecast, how would it, you know, trend, and when would you exceed the budget that you want? So if you can see this, on approximately around March 11th, I think I would be exceeding my budget. So this is a good view of the accumulated costs. And in addition to the accumulated costs, there is, let's go through, you know, let's just spin through and see what's there from left to right, right? First, you can see the actual cost, which is nothing but the cost that is on your invoice, the actual cost that comes in through to you at discounted rates if you have any negotiated prices with us. Then you have the forecast. You can turn it on or off. It's just a simple trend line forecast. It doesn't factor in purchases like RI, but otherwise it's got a sheer power of being able to trend your cost against a forecast and see when you will exceed your spend. In addition to that, let's look at the granularity. You can look at the data either accumulated daily or monthly, and you can actually see the chart either in a line chart, a column stack, and these are just pictorial ways, which depending on the scenario that you're doing, kind of comparisons you're doing, the graph chart can suit your needs, right? The next step in the MS in Learn module that you have, when you look at it, we've covered the actual cost, and we've covered the forecast, which tells you how, you know, how you're trending. We have covered the budget. The next thing is the pivot chart, right? When you look at the pivot chart, you can see these are the pivot charts that you have. What are these pivot charts? These are actually related to the group buys and filters. What are group buys and filters? I just don't want to just see my total cost. I want to know, slice and dice my cost by various metrics. How do I do that? I can go in here, click on group buy, and I can say, I want to be able to group by, say, subscription. Let's say group by subscription. Then what it would do is it would show me what are the subscriptions that have been contributing to the spend. You can always, because the scale is off, let me turn off this, and then, you know, let me turn off the budget too here so that you can see better. And you can see now that these are the subscriptions that have grouped. So I can select, and there are about 21 plus dimensions that you can slice and dice by, like subscription, resource group, to name a few. Our documentation clearly lists the power of the filter that is available here in group buy. It's not just a group buy. These same metrics are available to us as filters as well. You can go in here, select the specific filter of, say, a specific subscription or a specific resource and see costs as well. Now, in addition to all of these views, it's not just the current month that you can see the data for. You can see the data for this month, last quarter. You can pick custom date ranges here and see the cost over a period of time. Ideally, you would see it for the current month and the last month if you're trying to reconcile against your invoice. But otherwise, this gives you a trend on the last 7 days, and this is a good way to have a, you know, build your own views in cost management. In addition yes, go ahead, Yash.
Well, I'm just curious. I want to see what my cost is on day by day basis. How do I do that?
Oh, that's a good question. We have a built-in view, which is called daily cost. And there are many other views as well. So daily cost, what it does is it gives you a view of the cost or day on which goes daily. Let me go into each of these built-in reports. That will give you an insight about how this daily cost works in and how you can build insights into it, right? I'm going to start first with, you know, the cost by service. The reason I start with cost by service is this is a very intuitive service, intuitive report, which tells you how my cost has been over the last 3 months, right? And you click on cost by service and it gives you a ready-made view, which tells you what are the services that have been contributing to my cost over the last 3 months. And one quick look at this, let's say I'm the manager and I come in, oh my God, I'm spending a lot. What has in cost and what is this new service that I must be spinning this month? I take a look. Oh, is it, which one is it? Oh, it's Azure Synapse Analytics. That's the one that's contributing to my cost. So you're at one glance, you can figure out, you know, over month on month, what's changing for you. Now, beyond cost by service, let's say now I figured out the cost by service. What about my cost by resource? That's the most useful view, isn't it? It tells you the cost that is attributed by every single resource. And the most important thing, you can actually at one glance identify which are the most expensive resources. As you can see, this toggle here will tell you which are the most expensive resources. And it's just not just about a resource view. There is magic here. When you click on this, you can actually see against the resource, what are the other services that are spinning against that resources. For example, in this resource, you have a VM, there's a network bandwidth that's spinning cost against it. And if you let me weave a story. So in the last report that we saw, in the service report that we saw, we found that it was something, Synapse Analytics, right, that was spinning cost, the service. Let's go here and add a filter for the service. Name, I think it was like analytics, right? I don't remember the exact name.
It was Synapse, yes.
Yes, oh, let's see whether this works. Can I see the resources that are spinning against this? Would it work, do you think?
Yes, it does.
So now I can see which are the resources that have spinning against the service and which are the resources that have been contributing to the cost. So we identified the services and now the resources. Isn't that wonderful, Yash?
Yeah, so and just to make sure what I'm looking at, I can see the Synapse dedicated pool cost, and I can also see how much I've been charged for storage and the disaster recovery. So all up, this is what I'm paying for that resource combined together.
Exactly, right? And let's further drill down to the other built-in views. I'm not going to go too much into the details. The daily cost view is available to you, which gives you the view by the day that you had earlier asked for. If you remember, you said, if you notice, this is a column stack view. Depending on how you want to see your cost, you can pick the graph that suits you best. When you're seeing daily, column stack kind of makes sense. The demo gods are not with me yet. Let me see if I have, it comes back. Yes, it did it come back to me. Okay, so it gives you the daily cost, and I'll come back to this in a minute and show it to you. So that was all about the built-in views.
We have a question here, Aparna. Sure. Is cost analysis also there? Is the cost of reservation also there in cost analysis?
Yes, it is there. And I'm going to be covering that in a bit. Let me show it to you. Where was that? Just a second. I have the view handy. Okay, so if you remember, I covered the actual cost. When you go in here, you can select the actual cost. Actually, if you click on it, there's a toggle and you can select amortized cost. What amortized cost does is actually it breaks your reservation, which is, let's say you've bought a $365 reservation over a year. It spreads that reservation over the term of the reservation. For example, $1 per day is the average spend of cost of that reservation. And you can actually see it spread here. And it's the power of it is it's not just about saying, what is the cost of my reservation every day? It actually gives you how much is used and unused out of that reservation, as you can clearly see. The way to do it is you select amortized cost here, one click, go here, click group by charge type, and it should be able, it's like a one click view to be able to see what part of your RI is not being used. And you can always filter to the specific department or tag to understand which are the departments that have been contributing to the unused reservation and send them a report.
Yeah, that's great. Can I save these reports? I mean, I created this report. I don't want to come back and create it every time I come here. Can I save it, share it? What can I do with it?
You can save the world. So the way to save it is that you can click here, save, And when you click here, save, you can give a name for it. Let's call it reservation view for Yash. And you should be good enough. And you can actually, after that, come in here and you can actually select that view right here and select it. There are both private views as well as shared views. Are you curious what's a shared view, Yash?
Yeah, I can take a guess here. So the view that we collaborate upon?
Yes, so let's say I click on share. Let's say I take a specific view, some any view for that matter, and I click on share. It gives me a link that I can share with you. And when you access that link, Yash, there's a slight nuance to it. You can only see cost against that view for the subscriptions and scopes that you have access to. For example, if you had subscriptions that I don't, you have access to that I don't, you will actually see more cost. Or if you have lesser subscriptions, there is a scenario that, you know, you might not see the identical view. But if our access levels were identical, our views would be identical. But that's not exactly a problem. You know why? Let me show you more. It's not just about the share view. We also have a download view, which means that, yeah, let's say, Yash, you don't have the access levels that I do. I can always, you know, if I have a pictorial view of, let's say, give me a minute. Let's take any view for that matter. And I click on download here.
Oh, that's your daily view.
Yes, the daily view that you wanted, which is why I went to
that. Yes, that's my daily view. Okay.
Yeah. So let's say you wanted the daily view and you wanted to be able to send that image to somebody else. You can actually go here and download the PNG and send it to them. There is also an Excel which would send the tabular version of this data. If you remember, I said that you have the column stack daily. There is actually a table format. So even that can be sent, as an Excel. You can download it and send it.
So I can see different reports. I can customize them. I can save them, play around with group bys, filters, like an Excel. I can pivot on it, filter on it. But, yes. You know, in a lot of organizations, this is good. But for advanced cases, you just want to get the data and then you want to build something yourself. Can I do that?
Wow, I think our developers read your mind, you know. So the way you can do that is actually, it's called an export feature. You can either click on view all exports, or you can click on the export blade on the left nav, and it will take you to exports. And when you click on exports, let me move to exports here. You can actually, you would land on a pane which shows all the exports that you've already set up, or you can set a new export, right? And what is an export? It actually exports all of your raw cost data, and in a CSV format into a blob storage of your choosing against, as your storage. This is a sample export that I'm going to be setting up. I can actually set up an export test, and you can, you know, the power of it is it's not just an export of actual cost. Remember, we covered the amortized cost, the RI version. Yes. Let's say you want to export that. You can export even the amortized cost. And you can set up a daily, weekly, monthly, or a one-time export. The timing and when you set the export is a little crucial, because that's what's kind of, if you say weekly, the weekly export is always at the same time as when you have set up the initial export. You can also have a one-time export. You can set it against a specific subscription or a storage. Here, for example, I have set it up, and you can see that I have gone to the Storage Explorer. There is actually already an existing export, and I click on it, and it would be a CSV file with all of the cost data that is there, right? For example, so if you go through the Learn module, it will clearly tell you the steps that you need to take to set this export, very similar to the demo that we did, and it will show you the export schedules that we have, and also tells you how you can verify the cost data. The actual cost data will look something like this, which has the, you know, the CSV format.
And the granularity on this is daily granularity, or do you have any other granularity as well?
At this point of time, it's similar to the usage details, the granular usage details file that we have. It's similar, schema slightly different. We're trying to standardize it, but it's pretty similar to that, which is that for the every usage date that we have.
So it's for a date basis.
Great. Yes.
And then once it's in CSV, I can use Azure Data Factory or Data Explorer to ingest this and build my own custom reports connected to Power BI or whatever I want to do.
Correct. Let's do a quick, this exercise is very, given that we have done this demo this much, this will be a lot easier. All you need to do is effectively you're trying to find a subscription in cost analysis and find which resources contribute the cost to maximum to it. Do you think we can do that together, Yash? So
You showed it a little while ago. Can I take, let's go through subscription. Sure.
Just click on subscriptions.
I was going to be adventurous here.
Yeah, so you can go to the subscription and you can add, or for that matter, anything, and you can actually group by a resource. And it will tell you clearly, it will create a report very similar to the resource group, resource report that we talked about. Just a second. Sorry, my screen, my mouse just killed me for a minute. I'm sorry about that. Ha. Yes. Right. So let's say there's a subscription and I've grouped by resource here, and take a guess, which resource do you think is spinning the most cost here?
Well, it's X cloud normalized.
Yeah, it's this one. You can clearly see it, right? Okay. So we have completed the exercise on finding out which resource contributed the most as well. Because we are a little tight on time, let me go quickly into budgets. Budgets is a feature which allows you to set, budgets against a threshold. On if a cost exceeds a certain value, you can either get alerted, or you can also, in case if it's a subscription against which you're setting a budget, you can actually set action groups, which call webhooks, which can automate certain actions. For example, if my cost exceeds $100, I want this action group to invoke certain steps to say turn down a VM or any steps that you want, and that's automation. You can even achieve that. The way to do that, you know, as you can see here, there are already existing budgets against which you can see the spend and how the cost is trending. The way to set the budget is you click on the budgets here, the add button here, and it takes you to the budget screen. And you can set either a monthly, quarterly, or annual budget. And when you change this, you can actually, for the month or quarter or annual, you can actually see the forecast here as well about how the costs are going to trend. And against that, you can set a budget. And once you've set the budget, come to our very own cost analysis and you would be able to see how your costs trend against the budget, right? With no further ado, let me take a step and go and explain the other kinds of budgets that we have and hand it over to Yash for the RI. The other kind of budgets. I think we will switch to the RI version of the story, right? Just give me a minute.
Well, we have a question, audience question. I wanted to bring it up. Sure. When you're looking at cost analysis, how far back in past can I go see the data for?
So ideally, we would, you know, at a single time, I would suggest that you can go look at last 12 months. We support up to, I think, two to three years. But I suggest that you look for the last 1 year is ideal here. And for most of that, the rest of the stuff, I would suggest that you use APIs, given the volume of data that you may have can cause problems for you.
Got it. And in this chart that you're showing here, it's red because I'm in trouble. I have exceeded my budget. I need to find more money. That's really what it
You're
is.
You're not yet in trouble. If you continue to spend the Got same it. Way, you will get into trouble. The light green is the forecast, right?
So I need to control my spending here.
Yes, definitely.
What happens when I exceed that thing, when I get to the threshold, or if I'm projecting to the threshold? Do you send me an alert, an email? How do I not react to it, but instead know about it in advance?
So when you set a budget, what happens is that not only do you set the amount that you want to set a budget for, you can actually say at 10% of the budget or 20% of the budget threshold, send me a notification or take an action. For example, let's say 10% of it, send me a notification, 20%, or invoke a specific action group. Send an email to, you know, me, and you can, I will get to know whenever there is a budget that has exceeded the threshold. So that is how budgets work, and how, you know, you would be receiving an email, and you can actually specify others as well. So the alerts that you send is not just for the person creating the budget. You can set it to, so that people in your team can receive a budget. You can hold people accountable for the spend that they are responsible for by sending them the alert. Sure. Given the time crunch, maybe it's a good idea to switch to the RI version of the story. Let me
Yeah, I think
switch.
sounds good. Let me share my screen here.
Sure.
So, going to my screen and here. Hey, folks, so we went through how to see your costs, how to set up budgets, how to set up alerts, and how next thing is how to save money. You have exceeded that budget. You are in red. You don't want to be in trouble. You want to save money. You can use Azure Reserved Instances. That's just one way to save money. There is, of course, resource optimization and right sizing that Aparna went through earlier. So Azure Advisor has those things. Specifically, what we are talking about right now in this module is going to be Azure Reserved Instances. So again, we have a learn module. You can go to it with aka.ms/learnri. Put it in your browser and it'll take you to the learn module, which takes you through the life cycle of the reserved instances. So, what are the prerequisites? You should have a paid subscription. Reserved instances can only be purchased for WebDirect, EA, CSP, and Microsoft Customer Agreement. They cannot be purchased for MSDN. They cannot be purchased for free trial or sponsorship. So, if you have the right subscription, follow along. You can do this in the browser yourself at your end, or otherwise just watch how we go through it. The other thing is that you need to have owner, or we just recently introduced this additional permission, which is called reservation purchaser permission. You need to have either owner or reservation purchaser permission on the subscription to see the reservation experience. And last thing I will add is do not actually purchase unless you really want to, because any purchases that you make are going to be actual production, live, full and final purchases. So be careful. You can follow along, but be careful as you purchase, since we are just doing a demo here.
That's the first cost saving advice of the
That is the
day.
first, indeed. Yes. Let's go to the next one, which is agenda. So what do we want to cover? We just want to go through end to end, really, what to help you with the reservation experience. Before you purchase, how do you figure out what reservations to purchase? We will go through how to purchase. And then after you purchase, how do you manage a reservation? How do you optimize a reservation? And then how do you see the costs in cost management? That's the agenda. So it goes from what to purchase all the way to seeing your cost, including showback, chargeback type of costs in cost management. Okay. So, introduction. What is reserved instances? Some of you may not be aware of it. So, just for benefit of everyone, let's go through it. Reserved instances can save you 72%, up to 72% as compared to your pay-as-you-go prices. You commit to 1 or 3 year SKUs. You commit to use a size, a family of VM or other products for 1 or 3 years. And in lieu, we give you a great discount there, which can greatly optimize your month-over-month cost and also give you predictability in the costs. Reservations are available not just for VMs. They are available for 20 different services. You have storage, you have SQL, SQL DW, Databricks. Yeah, whatever you use, I'm sure there is a reserved instance for you and there is a cost saving waiting for you if you haven't purchased it yet. So,
That's awesome.
yeah. We try to save you as much money as you can so that you can use more services and be more and innovate faster, innovate more. Determine what to purchase. So we will go through it. We will go through the recommendations, but some of the important concepts that you need to know before you even try to figure out what to purchase for. So reservations provide a billing discount and don't affect the runtime state of your resources. So your VMs, your storage, your SQL resources are totally different from reservations. Reservations do not impact them in any way except for the billing and the cost. And don't impact the runtime state. Second important thing, after you purchase a reservation, the discount will automatically apply to matching resources. You do not need to go and tag a reservation to a resource. You don't need to restart a resource. You don't need to do anything. We try to make it as simple as you as possible for you. Just purchase a reservation. If there's a matching resource, it'll apply to it. So as you go through this, determine what to purchase, figure out what you're using, go purchase a matching reservation, it'll automatically apply. The discount is applied hourly except Databricks. For most of the reservations, for all the reservations except Databricks, the discount is applied hourly. What that means is when you purchase five quantity, and I'm going to take VM as an example. Let's say you purchase five VM quantity. What you're committing to is you're committing to use five VMs every hour for 1 or 3 years. If you do not use five VMs in a particular hour, your reservation is going to be underutilized and you would be wasting money for that hour. So it's important that you figure out what resources are going to be constantly used, your baseline usage you need to have a hold on. And just the last one, which is at the end of your reservation term, the reservation expires and the discount stops applying to your resources. You can always renew the reservation. We have automatic renewal also, so you can set it up for renewing. But the only thing that happens is your discount doesn't apply. It expiry of a reservation does not impact your resources. Your resources will continue to run your and will not be impacted with the reservation lifecycle.
So your the management and the billings are kind of orthogonal to each other.
Exactly. The resources and the reservation, which is a management, which is a cost management and cost optimization tool, are totally separate.
Awesome.
And then for EA customers, the reservation term is independent of the EA. So even if your EA is expiring, you know, in 3 months, you can still go purchase 1 and 3 year reservation. Okay. So let's go into what to purchase, what reservation to purchase. So Azure analyzes your resource usage continuously and recommends the reservation SKUs and quantity that maximize your savings. So you might have seen Azure reservation recommendations, or maybe this is new to you, but we constantly do a what if type of analysis. We keep looking at your costs, actual cost, and then we simulate as to what your cost would have been if you had a reservation. And wherever we see the maximum savings, we recommend that quantity to you for reservation purchases. Let's go see some of the recommendations. I'm on Azure portal here. To go to reservations, just search here like everything else. Just search for reservations and that will land you on reservations. I am using a newer version and this is just rolling out. So there is a few things that I'll show you here, which some of you will have access to and some of you are going to have access to, but I'm very excited to share some of these features. So when you come here I went in, I selected virtual machines. It was going to show me the recommended SKUs here. So we were talking about recommendations. It shows me the SKUs on which I have usage and I have a consistent history of usage. And this doesn't want to cooperate with me right now. No, it is working. Okay, great. So as I said, this is a preview version that I'm at. I want to show you some of the features which are just rolling out. So here is my recommendations. For shared scope, which is across all my subscriptions in my billing profile here, these are the SKUs for which I have recommendation. And the reason why I have these recommendations are going to be here. So let's click into this. For this SKU, for this usage, which is DS1 V2 in East US, actually the utilization is pretty stable. I just continue to use the same quantity every hour. And this shows me the usage pattern over last 709 hours. I have a flatline usage, and that's why the recommended quantity is also a flatline here, which is 7. So this is an easy scenario. And you can see that in savings by quantity that we recommended the quantity that saves you the most, 7. You can go purchase more, and your savings will go down. So instead of 6,000, now it's 4,000 because of underutilization. And you can go with a smaller quantity, and then again, you're leaving money on the table and you're going to save less. So the quantity that maximizes your savings is the one that we recommend.
So I love this. I mean, it looks like we are doing a lot of work to ensure that, you know, some of the math that the customers need to do, we are doing that. But a question here, are these calculated using the, you know, this, like, for example, if I were a customer, is it using my pricing or is it using retail pricing? Are these recommendations like specific or customized to my prices?
These are created using your pricing for every customer. These are created using your specific pricing.
And what happens if I purchase this reservation? Would it...
Once you purchase the reservation, it just automatically applies to your resources and you start to see your cost go down automatically.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm just going to take a slightly more variable usage scenario here. So this is for a different VM size in a different region. And over the last 629 hours, this is the usage pattern. Goes up, goes down. So I'm shutting down the VM, starting more VMs, etc. Here you will see that we didn't recommend the top point. We didn't recommend the bottom one here. What we recommended is the point that saves you the most, and
just right.
which is 7. And you can see it here. So with 7, my savings is this. If I go purchase 8, my savings is reduced. And if I go purchase less, my savings is again reduced. So again, the same message, the quantity that we recommend is going to maximize your savings, but then it's up to you. You can select any quantity and then you can go ahead and purchase. So we saw a recommendation for VMs. We add it to the cart. And then from this point onwards, it's just a couple of clicks where you can go and purchase the reservation here. So it's in my cart. And then, you know, there I go.
So it does It does the math for you before you purchase it. That's awesome.
It does the math for you. It shows you the savings, which is based on, again, this reservation rate and your pricing. So one of the features that's just shipping out is group by smallest size. You will see that with this, we will group these recommendations by the smallest size in the instance flexibility group. Instead of seeing individual sizes that you are, we will give you consolidated recommendation for the smallest size in that family and in that region. So that just helps you purchase lesser number of reservations, because with instance size flexibility, the same reservation can apply to different sizes in the family. So let's go back to our PowerPoint here. So we went through a demo. We spoke about recommendations and in the purchase experience. The recommendations are also available to you in Azure Advisor within the portal. So just go to Azure portal and in Advisor, you will see the same recommendations. In Advisor, the recommendations are only for last 30 days, and they are there based on last on 3 year on the savings given to you by 3 years reservation. So you can see those there.
So quick question: so would I use Azure Advisor or would I use the recommendation that is there in my purchase experience? Which is there a difference between the two?
Yeah, I mean it's not a or, it's more of an and. You can use Azure Advisor for all your cost optimization. And then once you know that, hey, this reservation looks like the right thing for me, it'll take you to the purchase experience that we went through. And then you can see the data for last 60 days, 7 days, for 1 year, 3 year. You can modify the things. But this just gives you an overview into what the potential is. And then it's up to you how you want to leverage it.
Neat.
And then also there is a Azure Cost Management Power BI. We have a training module also for it, which has the coverage report for VMs and it has purchase recommendations for VMs. So you can use that also if you are an enterprise customer or a Microsoft customer agreement customer.
I'd like to add the same Power BI report is available for cost visibility. The features that you saw in cost analysis, a lot of these features are available for enterprise EA customers on our Power BI app as well.
That's great. Let's go to our favorite part, which is knowledge check. So I have a couple of questions for you, Aparna.
Oh my God, you're going to test me, aren't you?
Yes. Which of the following tools found in the Azure portal can be used to help determine what to buy for a reservation purchase?
I think it's either Azure Advisor or Cost Insights in the Azure portal. I think based on your demo, I'm more confident that it should be Azure Advisor. What do you think? Do you think I'm right?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. It's Azure Advisor along with other tools, but one of the tools is Azure Advisor.
That's neat. I mean, if you had added the purchase experience here, I would have probably, you know, struggled a bit because both of them are offering it. But yeah.
Just looking at one of the questions that's coming in. So does the recommendation take care of the stopped VMs, or if you have a regular pattern where you stop the VMs? Yes, it does. We saw that in the recommendation experience where you saw the chart where usage was going up and then going down. That's because some of the VMs were getting shut down. Okay, let's go to how to make a purchase. The key things here in this section, who can buy a reservation? So we recently made some changes here, and we have some awesome improvements also coming up. We constantly listen to you. We're constantly adding things. So earlier, only subscription owners could purchase reservations, but now we also introduced an additional permission, subscription level RBAC permission, which is called reservation purchaser. So users who are either owner or a reservation purchaser, both can now purchase reservations. So a lot of times you want FinOps to be not to be the owner on the subscription. You can give them reservation purchaser permission on the subscription to enable purchases.
So, what privileges the reservation purchaser permission provide?
Yeah, it is a very it's a very minimalized permission where you don't even see the resources. You cannot impact any of the resources like your VMs and stuff. The only thing that you see is reservation recommendations and then ability to purchase a reservation. So it's a very constrained permission.
Awesome.
And then how reservations are scoped. So we'll go through the three scoping constructs: shared scope, single subscription, single resource group, and then how to purchase and what happens after purchase. So I sort of already gave it away, but let's go through this just to quickly refresh the memory here. Shared scope is one. If you are on an EA or let's say WebDirect subscription, it applies to all the subscriptions which are in the billing context related to the billing subscription that you select. So if this subscription is from, let's say, my EA1, and that EA has 100 subscriptions, all of them are going to get the reservation discount that I purchase here on first come, first serve basis. A lot of times you don't want to purchase shared scope. You want to purchase for a single subscription. You can go select that. And when you do that, you will see recommendations for that subscription, and then a reservation will apply only to that subscription. And if you want to go even super narrow, you can go purchase for single resource group.
So it basically implies that I need to be a little smart about, where do I want my benefits of my reservation to apply and pick the corresponding scopes at the time of purchasing it so that I can make sure that there's some controls around it, correct?
Yeah, exactly. And then a lot of times I get a question that, hey, what's the best practice? I would say shared scope will maximize your reservations utilization. But a lot of times your organization may want to do single scope because of how you do internal show back, chargeback, and how, if you're purchasing reservation for a particular cost center, you may want to scope it to a subscription. Those are the scenarios where you want to maybe look into single subscription, single resource group.
That explains so why, I've seen the scope. Now I understand how to select the scope when I purchase the reservation, why I should pick which scope.
So here I selected a SKU. I'm going to say 53% with this SKU in this region. And here it's again added to my cart. And then I can go ahead and then I can go purchase the reservation. That's pretty much it. I'm going to save 68% with this, 53% with this. Let's moving along. How to purchase? So we went through that. I'm not going to make a purchase here. Again, that's my account, so I don't want to pay all that money. How reservations are scoped? What happens after purchase? They automatically apply to your usage, matching usage in the given subscription. So
Quick
now,
question. So can
yeah.
billing admin see the reservation too?
Yes, so we just yes, billing admins can go to cost management and billing, and they can see all the reservations. I'm going to cover that in just a little bit as to who gets access to reservations and who can manage from there.
Awesome.
So we went through shared single scope. We went through purchasing a reservation. We went through what happens after purchase. I'll not bore you with PPT. I showed you the experience there. Let's go to knowledge check. That's really my ex most exciting part here on this. So, want to
And you're
see how much
checking
you
whether I'm
learned?
listening, aren't you?
Yes, it's a check on that as well. What reservation scopes should be used to share benefits across subscriptions?
Across subscriptions, is it the enrollment account is or shared? I think it's the shared scope. Would that be right?
Yes. So shared scope will apply for the entire EA if you are an EA customer. If you are a WebDirect customer or CSP customer, in that case, also shared scope is going to apply to all your subscriptions in that account, in that Azure plan. And then for MCA, it's going to apply to the entire billing profile. So yes, it is shared scope. Okay.
So I am listening in.
Thank you for listening. And
I really understand reservations and scopes better now.
Which Azure customer type are supported by Azure reservations? Again, enterprise agreement, WebDirect, CSP, and Microsoft customer agreement, or NPN, or BizSpark. Which subscriptions are eligible?
I have a feeling this must be pretty similar to the subscriptions that we support for cost analysis. So I'm going to go with the enterprise agreement, WebDirect, CSP, and Microsoft customer agreement.
Yep. Hey, it helps you save your spend, and those are the paid subscriptions. So that's why reservations are scoped only to those. They do not apply to subscriptions where you have credits and where there is free usage.
But cost management supports the free versions too for free
that's
trial.
Correct.
Yes.
That's correct. Yes. You can get insights into that as well, and so you should. Okay, let's go to view and manage reservations. So now you've purchased a reservation, you went through what to purchase, you purchased a reservation. How do you view and manage your reservations after you've purchased? So Aparna, to come back to your question earlier, by default, following users can view and manage the reservations. First one, the person who buys the reservation and the account administrator of the billing subscription, which is used to purchase. So those people by default get access to the reservation. The second set of people is enterprise agreement and Microsoft customer agreement billing administrators. They have access to all reservations and they can go and see, manage, and exchange, optimize. They can do everything with reservations. They don't need to be added explicitly. And this is something that we just recently enabled. It's still in preview, but we're looking for your feedback and expanding this feature, building on it.
I know that's been a loud ask, right?
It has been, yes. And let's go into a demo here, which is how to see your reservations. So you can just go to Azure portal, home, search for reserved instances, which is here, and you will see your list of reservations. I just have two in this test account. And then you can go into a reservation to see the utilization. You will also see utilization on the main page. But here, you can see the utilization for me here. Now, the other interesting thing I was talking about was how to see the reservations as a cost management administrator. So now I have come to cost management and billing. I go to reservation transactions. Yeah. This is for your question, Aparna. So I go to reservation transactions. You will see right now this is in preview. So now billing administrators can manage reservations. Click here to view and manage. So we are working on this feature, but you can right now go and see the reservations, and you will see that my list is much bigger. My list is not, and this is a test account, so okay, pardon the failures here. We keep trying those things, but I see a much bigger list of reservations and not just two. And that's because I am seeing these reservations as a billing administrator, as an EA administrator, and I have access to all the reservations. I can see the utilization and stuff like that.
So anyone who has purchased reservations against the, you know, against the enrollment, anybody else, the enterprise admin or the billing admin can see it.
Yeah.
That's neat.
Yeah. Anyone in your organization purchases, the billing administrator can go and see that reservation. So we saw the reservations after purchase. Let's go to what you can do with the reservation after purchase. So once it's there, it's applying to your usage. You can do a few operations. You can change the configuration of the reserved instance. And by that, I mean you can change the scope. You can go from shared scope. You can go from shared scope to single subscription or single resource group. You can change in either direction anytime during the lifecycle. It does not reset the term of the reservation. It just changes to where it applies. And that's pretty much it. You can set up automatic renewal. It's as easy as just, you know, click on this, select how you want to renew, and that's it. You're done. At the expiry of this reservation, we will automatically purchase a replacement. And we recently added a couple of cost management reports into the reservation. When you're looking at the reservation detail, you can go and see usage by resource. You can see usage by resource, where for this reservation, it will show you exactly which VM, in this case, these two VMs, got how many dollars of reservation usage. And this is used usually for the chargeback, showback type of scenarios. So here it's showing me that this resource, which is Justin Web Test, used the reservation on this subscription.
There are two questions that have come in. One was, it's regarding recommendations. It's coming a little late, but I think it's better that we ask right now. I'm sorry to take you a little, further down. The question is, does the recommendation regarding reserved instance also take into a situation where we stop VMs during peak usage? I think
yes,
you answered yes, right?
Yeah, I think we went through this question. Yes, we do. We consider your usage up and down, and then we recommend the point at which you save the most. Yes, so we factor that. Anything, any other questions, Aparna?
Yes, there's one more, which is that there's a user who says they're not able to see reservations in their dropdown. Is there a permission required?
Yeah, so I see that they're not able to see subscriptions in the dropdown. As we covered earlier, you need to have owner access or reservation purchaser access on a subscription to purchase a reservation. So if you don't have that, you ask someone to give you that access.
Awesome.
Okay, so I'm just taking a different reservation here, and I went to the same usage by resource report. You can see much more bigger set of subscriptions here. This reservation is getting used by these resources on this month. In February, these resources use the reserved instance on these resource groups and on these subscriptions, and the total cost of usage was this much in the month of February. So you can see this breakdown as to who used the reservation at any point in time. Just go to cost management billing, select the reservation, and then within that you will see it. And we'll go through cost analysis to also see how you can get it yourself.
Can I export the reservation data too?
You can set up your exports, the cost management export, which will export the exact same data, yes.
Oh, it's the same one, okay.
Yeah. It's nothing but cost analysis. The report that you were earlier showing, Aparna, is just embedded here.
Okay, the amortized dropdown that I showed
this
earlier.
This is the amortized.
Exactly.
This is the amortized report that you showed earlier, and we have just embedded it into the reservation. You can also split or merge your existing reservation. You know, sometimes you may want to break it into smaller chunks and then scope it differently, or maybe exchange some of them. So you can use API, PowerShell, or CLI to split a reservation. It doesn't cause a commercial transaction when you split or merge, and it doesn't change the end date of the reservation. They have the same term as the one that you split or merge. How are we doing on time, Aparna?
We're about 9:30.
Okay. So are we good on time? I have 10 more minutes?
Yes, you do.
Okay. That's great. So now let's cover a couple of other things. I purchased a bunch of reservations. Let's say I want to go and see the cost of those reservations. I can go here to reservation transactions, and it will show me all the costs. And it will also show me the monthly purchases. If I purchase a reservation with monthly cost, you will see recurring. And this is what I'm paying monthly for these reservations. Okay, coming back, we saw that quickly there. Reservation transaction using Power BI. The same data that I went through, the transactions, are also there in Power BI. We automatically import that data set. It's there for you. You just have to, and even a report is there, pre-created report is there for you. It's up to you, your creativity, how you want to use that data. And then reservation transactions and usage data. I think there was a question earlier if reservation transactions show up in cost analysis. Yes, they do. If I go to cost analysis, and I can search by a reservation here. I don't think I have a purchase this month yet, or maybe I do, let's see. But you will see the reservation purchases in cost analysis when you go select a reservation. So in this case, I don't have a purchase this month. So that's why it's not showing up. But you will see the costs here Just select a filter for charge type, and then you can put a filter on the reservation ID and payment. You can see it. And you can get the same data in export. Just go and export the data, usage data, and that's going to have the charge type of purchase, and the reservation order is going to be there in the purchase. Monitor and optimize reservations after use, after you purchase. So what we're going to go through is how to find reservations with low utilization and how to optimize their use. So let me again switch back here, trying to go through this a little bit fast. We have a lot of content. After you purchase a reservation, your utilization is going to show up here. I have set it up with this utilization, but let's say, and pardon some of the test account things that you will see here, but here is my reservation. This is the utilization. I can go back 7 days, 1 month, 3 months, click on any point. That will also show you which resource used how much quantity of the reservation. And if you have lower than ideal usage, you can also just exchange self-service. Just click on exchange, and that will start the exchange process for the reservation. So we saw the utilization. We saw the breakdown. You click on any point in the reservation utilization, you will see the VMs that, just repeating it, you will see the VMs that use the reservation or the resources that use the reservation. And then you can do optimizations with exchange or scope changes or even refunds, limits apply after you've purchased a reservation. You can do exchange. We spoke about it. Self-service, you can do it. You
Quick
can
question.
Change.
The- so are there penalties on an exchange?
No, there's no penalties on exchange. You just purchase. When you do exchange, the new reservation should be equal to or more than what you're returning. You can change your VM size. You can change the region. You can change the series. There is no restrictions except that what you purchase that needs to be equal to or greater than what you return. And you can exchange a compute reservation for compute. So you can exchange a VM reservation for dedicated host VM and Azure VMware solutions. Or vice versa, you cannot exchange a VM reservation for a SQL or Cosmos DB. So you got to stay within the product, you know, broader product family. But besides that, your new purchase just needs to be equal to or greater than what you're returning.
That's neat. Yeah.
Yeah. Other thing is change scope. You can change the scope from one subscription to other. If you are not using shared scope, you can use that to increase your reservations utilization. You can change your resources. You know, if you have a reservation for D series, but you're using E series, consider that as well. You know, if it works with your architecture, you could change your E series VM to D series, and that will bump up your reservations utilization if you have that problem. And you can also go and do refunds, refund policies, check in their documents, but refunds, expect a 12% penalty when you refund. Right now, we have waived it off, but expect the penalty. Don't plan for no penalty in future. And there is also a 50K USD limit for refunds in a trailing 12-month window. So your cumulative cancellations and commitment cancellations cannot exceed 50K in a 12-month rolling window. For more, you see the reservation documents, and we cover some examples there. So knowledge check for this section. What is one way to optimize your reservation purchase?
Would it be, I can assign new users and I would probably use the reservation more, but I think I'll go with exchange unused quantities for a different reservation because I think that's what makes sense.
Yep, that is correct. So exchange unused quantities. And just to add, let's say you purchase a reservation for 100 VMs. And your utilization is, you know, maybe 60%, you can go exchange just the 40 quantity. So you can break down the reservation into a smaller chunk if it is purchased for more than one quantity, of course. And then you can exchange the subparts. Okay, we are at the last section here, which is also saving the best for last here. A lot of times I get this question about, hey, I bought a shared scope reservation. And my, you know, FinOps, central IT, or whoever purchased is paying millions of dollars for that reservation. How do I go and charge back, show back for the usage? So we showed that In the, I think you covered it. I've also gone through it, but this is a topic that comes up so many times that I want to make sure that I go through it again. So you can go to cost analysis. I'm going to show you how you can see the reservation application to individual resources and the dollar amount for your showback chargeback scenario. Click on amortized cost. When you click on amortized cost, instead of zeroing out the cost of reservation when it applies to a usage, we put the prorated cost or the effective cost of usage, which is the reservation cost, basically. In this case, I will add a filter on reservation name. Let's go and say I pick this up. Here is my reserved instance. This is how it's getting applied on a daily basis. I want to see just monthly data. Just keep it simple. And I want to see which resource it's getting applied to. And I don't want to see column. I want to see a table. Once I do that, I can see that Pluto Lander used $23 worth reserved instance in the month of March so far. So if I want to go show back, charge back the owner of Pluto Lander, which could be the Stray Research Corporation or Prequel Resource Group, or even tags, however you manage your costs, you can do that.
That's awesome. Likewise. So we're on tight on the time here. I'm assuming that we answered most of the questions here as well. Can we continue with the presentation? And
yep, let's do that, Aparna. So we went through the chargeback. You can also get the same data in Power BI, and you can get the same data from exports. Once you set up export, select metric as amortized, and you will get the same data. Let's do a quick knowledge check. What report type is used to create chargeback report? Actual cost, RI savings report, or amortized cost?
I think it's the amortized cost.
Yes, just making sure we hammer it. We have gone through it so many times. Amortized cost, use it, and you will see that breakdown that we went through. So just in summary, we went through plan, buy, and manage reservations, and save on your costs. You can see recommendation, you can purchase, and you can optimize after you purchase as well. Aparna, I'll hand it over to you for this.
Yeah, you can manage the slides. I'll just stop because we have short on time. Let me continue. Yep. So first things first, thank you everyone for being here patiently through the session. I hope it really helped you understand a little bit more about how you can manage your cost. Feel free to send us an email and feedback. We have, I think we'll be sharing all the avenues for you to be able to send us feedback, as well as we have the video channels on YouTube for cost management, aka.ms/cost-management/videos, where you can see learn videos as well, in addition to aka.ms, the learn modules that we have today. Before I wind down, I must say that don't forget to sign up for the Microsoft Ignite Cloud Skills Challenge. It's if you complete any or even all of the 7 collections that are there, you can earn a free certification exam. The challenge is live and it's running all the way through March 30th. The collections include like Microsoft 365 as your admin, as your data scientist, Teams admin, data analyst, name it, identity and information protection. You want to learn, this is your opportunity, and you would be able to earn a free certification exam along with it. So why stop, right? Moving to the next slide.
And there, so you can join us weekly on Learn TV starting March 15th. Just go to aka.ms/learnlive, and there's a lot more Learn resources available to you there.
Yeah, and I think starting March 15th, you're going to be having a Learn TV module, which is beginning on Azure SQL Fundamentals. That's the first of it, but I think there's a lot more coming in. So tune in every Monday, and there would be a Learn Live module waiting for you. Thank you.
Hey, thanks, everyone. Thank you for joining us. And hopefully this helps with your cost management and optimization journey.
Begin saving costs today.
Right now.